I'm Rick Henson with this check of the latest Southwest Iowa news on KJAN. Seven people were injured as a result of two separate accidents involving a total of nine vehicles Friday evening in Pottawatomie County. Both crashes occurred just hours apart near a construction zone. The first accident took place on I-80 eastbound, about 2 miles east of Shelby at around 4:15 p.m. and involved four semi-tractor trailers and three other vehicles. The Iowa State Patrol says the driver of one of the semis, 64-year-old David Nyhus of Arena, Wisconsin, was seriously injured in the crash and flown by LifeNet helicopter to the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha, where he was listed in serious condition. Two other people were injured, including an 8-year-old child who was a passenger in a 2007 Toyota Camry, driven by 32-year-old Jessica Cook of Winthrop, Iowa. The other person injured was identified as 47-year-old Jeffrey Vondeplatt of Moreno Valley, California. Both were transported by ambulance to the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. The drivers of the other vehicles were not injured. The crash resulted in the eastbound lanes of I-80 being closed for more than 5 hours, with traffic being diverted through Avoca. The patrol says traffic was stopped due to heavy traffic merging into one lane because of construction ahead of them. The semi driven by Nyhus was traveling eastbound in the right lane and, for reasons unknown, failed to stop with the traffic ahead. The semi swerved to the right and hit Cook's Camry in the rear. That car was shoved forward into a 2011 Ford Fiesta, driven by 27-year-old James Paul of Columbus, Nebraska. Paul was not injured in the crash. A semi continued down the eastbound shoulder of I-80, where it hit another semi driven by 60-year-old Thomas Custer of Madrid, a 2005 Ford F-250 pickup driven by 31-year-old Jacob Zeck of Omaha, and a 2007 Volvo semi driven by 38-year-old Slachko Gurayev of Prospect Heights, Illinois. After Nyhus' semi pushed the Volvo semi into the 2011 International semi driven by Vondeplatt, the Volvo rode onto its left side. The accident remains under investigation with charges pending. The second accident happened less than 1/2 mile away from the first in the westbound lane of I-80 at around 8:15 p.m. The patrol says four children ranging from 8 months to 6 years of age, all of whom were from Omaha, were injured when the 2002 Chrysler van they were in was rear-ended by a semi. The children were transported by Shelby Rescue to Murtu Hospital. Officials say the accident occurred as the van, driven by 27-year-old Rachel Foster of Omaha, was traveling in the right lane of I-80 westbound and was slowing for traffic in front of her. The van was hit from behind by a 2006 Freightliner semi driven by 28-year-old Stephen Dobbs of Robinson, Illinois. The Adams County Sheriff's Department reports three people were arrested Friday night. 28-year-old Tara Squibbs of Corning was arrested at around 8:40 p.m. on a charge of aiding and abetting a no-contact order. She was subsequently released on $500 bond. At around 9:45 p.m., 35-year-old Terry Squibbs of Corning was arrested for violating a no-contact order. Squibbs was also released from custody on a $500 bond. And just before 11 p.m., 18-year-old Cody Johnson of Stanton was arrested in the 500 block of 8th Street in Corning on public intoxication and possession of alcohol by persons underage charges. Johnson was being held in the Adams County Jail early this morning. A call to authorities in Montgomery County late Friday night about a woman letting air out of trucks in Villisca resulted in the arrest of a Prescott woman. Sheriff's officials say 19-year-old Shelby Kate Evans was charged with criminal mischief and public intoxication following an investigation into the incident, which occurred in the 1100 block of West High Street and was reported just after 11 p.m. Friday. Evans was being held in Montgomery County Jail on $600 bond early Saturday morning. A Council Bluffs man is in jail on suspicion of terroristic threats in Nebraska after police say he left a community college student harassing texts and other messages on her cell phone. 30-year-old James Bruner is in the Sarpy County Jail in La Vista, Nebraska. Bruner was investigated after a 32-year-old woman attending classes at Metropolitan Community College said she was being stalked by another student she identified as Bruner. The woman told police she found liquid-filled balloons lying on both sides and underneath her vehicle Thursday. The Omaha Police Bomb Squad was called and determined the liquid was water. Police say Bruner was arrested after they interviewed him. Elsewhere in the news this morning, the Iowa Supreme Court on Friday upheld a lower court ruling blocking the release of information on how officials at Atlantic High School were disciplined after conducting a strip search on female students in August of 2009. The Iowa ACLU sued, seeking to find out the punishment given these two school employees involved in the case. The Iowa Supreme Court upheld the lower court ruling 4-3, saying the punishment information was part of the school employees' personnel record and exempt from the State Open Records Act. The three justices dissented in the case, including Chief Justice Mark Cady, who said the majority opinion takes, quote, a step backward from the new age of open government in this state. Katie said, well, while the legislature understands that confidentiality is needed in some aspects of government work, the facts of this case reveal a substantial public justification for disclosure of the requested information. ACLU Executive Director Ben Stone says the case is important beyond the impact it has on Atlantic.
We are disappointed. It was a close decision, 4-3, with Chief Justice Katie and two of Governor Branstad's appointees agreeing with us in the dissent. You know, this case really raises a phenomenal public interest in the right to know.
Justices Waterman and Mansfield joined Katie in the dissent. Stone says his organization was very specific in what they sought.
The school district announced that the names of the two employees and said that they would be disciplined. And all we were seeking was information about what was the nature of that discipline. We weren't looking for an entire performance record. And the Atlantic School District refused to turn that over, and the Supreme Court has agreed with that conclusion. And so now the people of Atlantic will probably never know what was done to stand up for the privacy and the integrity of those girls. And that's very disappointing.
The majority of justices says there was not a need to balance the public's need to know with the right to privacy of those individuals. Stone argued the other side and was supported by the dissent.
Chief Justice Katie really lays it out very well in the dissent that we've been using a balancing test for 30 years, and the majority opinion really denies that reality because when you're determining, not to get into too much of the case law, but when you're determining something, whether or not something is personal in the language of the statute, you have to determine that by looking at the context. And that context is, in essence, a balancing test.
The dissent also says, in essence, that transparency in government will surely be thwarted by those in government who say matters are related to personnel issues in an effort to keep them from being scrutinized by the public. Stone says the ACLU will seek to have the legislature change the law to keep that from happening.
The 4-3 decision is a disappointment, but we're not done. We're going to do what we can to try to see to it that when instances like this where really outrageous and indefensible conduct by public employees is disciplined by the institution, that the public will be able to find out in certain circumstances what that type of discipline was.
The strip search of the girls in a locker room came after a fellow student reported $100 had been stolen from her purse. Money was never found, and the district later announced the strip search was against school policy. The district paid $300,000 to settle a lawsuit filed by the families of three girls who were subject to the strip search. Atlantic Assistant Principal and Activities Director Paul Cron was one of the two employees identified by the district as being involved. Cron later resigned from the district. The other employee was identified as Heather Turpin. Atlantic Community School District Superintendent Dr. Michael Amstein received word of the Iowa Supreme Court decision regarding the release of school district employee records from the school district's attorney Friday morning. Amstein told KJAN News that he was amazed by the lengthy reasons given by the dissenting judges, but overall happy with the end result.
The school district is pleased with the decision, and it affirms that, you know, our contention that those records were confidential and not exempt to the open records law. And it's good to see that the majority of the court felt that way too.
Amstein said he hopes this puts an end to the controversy.
To my knowledge, it will. In talking with our board attorney, he said they could ask for a rehearing, but he said that is rarely ever done. So I'm hoping it is. You know, I believe with this incident, we really need to move on as a district, and truthfully, as a district, we have.
Amstein said even if a second hearing is not heard by the state's high court, the case will not be forgotten.
You know, you never want to be remembered in the history books, but I guess, you know, when it comes to case law, we probably will.
And finally in the news, the Iowa Supreme Court has told the city of Hamburg that it cannot enforce an ordinance that prohibits a local business from allowing semi-nude lap dances because state law preempts the ordinance. The city in 2008 passed a local ordinance that requires semi-nude dancers to remain more than 6 feet away from customers. The owners of a property that leases space to a place known as Shotgun Genies sued the city. They claim the ordinance eliminates lap dances, one of the major reasons that patrons go to the club. The court found that Iowa law preempts local obscenity ordinances and that nude dancing falls within the state's obscene materials statute, which prohibits cities from regulating obscenity. And as a result, Hamburg's ordinance cannot be enforced. That is a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.